Yo, 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 Thought Warriors, what is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Laken.
It's me, Rachel Lindsay.
Now, let's talk about the mind space that we're in right now. Let's talk about the state of mind that we're in. Let's just be honest with the Thought Warriors. So, Thought Warriors, you guys have a unique treat that is coming up at the end of this week. Because
yes.
At the end of this week, for the Thanksgiving holiday, we are doing a very special podcast. And that podcast is going to be with our parents. My mother and my grandmother, we talked to. And then we also got a chance to talk to Mr. and Mrs. Lindsay.
Yes, the Lindsays. So for all of you who normally listen to the podcast, make sure you're actually watching a video of this, because Van and I have talked about that we grew up differently. You're going to hear it and see it on the podcast when you watch it. But it's so good. It's going to be such a good episode. I think you get a better understanding of who I am, where I come from. Same thing with Van. See Van get put in a corner.
You might see Van talking to a federal judge and kind of getting told about himself a little bit. I'm frazzled. Man, judges are different, man. I know that your dad, shout out to Judge Lindsay, a true gentleman. I know that your dad said that they're not, that they're regular people, but they don't seem like it. What was it like having like a judge to be your pops, man? He just seems so serious.
He is serious.
Yes.
He is, but he also has three daughters. So we are his soft spot. So he's like a big teddy bear to us. See, I mean, my dad, he always takes advantage of a teaching moment. He definitely was strict, but he has the biggest heart. So I feel like I see a different side of him than most people do. But you also have to realize my dad didn't become a judge until I was 13. So majority of my time growing up in the household, he was an attorney. For me, my dad is my role model, because that I was like, I want to be just like him. I want to be the city attorney. I want to go to law school. And I want to practice like my dad. Never wanted to be a judge, but I wanted to be just like him. And then, you know, here
Was it like a celebration when he became a judge?
There's an inauguration. So it's like and he was the first Black in the Northern District in Texas to hold that position. So it was a big deal. Like all of the powerful people in Texas came to this inauguration, especially Blacks. We had a Black mayor at the time who's my dad's friend. They went to law school together, Ron Kirk, who went on to work in Obama's administration. It was a big deal. I remember being 13. I thought I was cool because I got to take off from school. My grandmother came into town.
Where was the inauguration?
It was in Dallas. I think it was at the convention center, if I remember.
Did Bill Clinton come?
Bill Clinton was not there, but I was going to point this out to you. In the video, there's a picture behind my dad. That's the picture of him and Bill Clinton shaking hands. But I didn't know where you were going to go with it. So I just let that slide.
Off of the plane.
President Clinton was not there. So he was appointed by Clinton. I went to the Senate confirmation hearings. So what you see on TV as a kid, I went there where they questioned my dad and voted on my dad. I remember that. Mm. Yeah. Crazy experiences. Yeah. My parents are definitely my mentors for different
definitely
reasons.
Your mentors. Like your parents are. They seem like very, 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 very nice people. Like super nice people.
They are nice. But so is your mom. Listen, I don't want to talk too much about it because I want people to watch it. But I felt very much at home with your family. I'm not kidding. I'm coming over.
Do you think that your parents and my parents would be friends?
Yes.
You do?
Your mom and grandmother remind me of my mom's side of the family. Very much so. So I give the example of the difference between my families is my dad's side will say, oh, you're in school. What's your GPA? Where do you rank in your class? What are your future plans? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? My mom is like, you went to college? My mom's family, what?
Yeah.
Can you give us money? Can you make us?
What's your deal?
I give money to my mom's side of family all the time. My uncles, it's a totally different dynamic. Right. So I get I have the best of both worlds. And my mom's side, they're people, they're more welcoming. Mm-hmm. They're people.
Did you just call my mom and them some begging ass, non-college educated niggas?
Because you just stopped me. Because what I was saying was they're more welcoming. Rachy, I was talking about the difference. You cut me off.
Sounds like you were saying, with one side of my family that's educated and the other side of my family can't read. And that's why
No, absolutely not. Because your mother is extremely intelligent. Very and I can lady. Tell. Very I'm more so mad. My dad's side, like, they're not as friendly. They're not as socially adapt. Yes. And my mom's side, I said, what's the first thing I said? I feel very welcome. Your family made me feel welcome. I feel at home. That's my mom's side of the family. The door's always open. Come over. Yes.
Yeah, maybe the door's a little too
Stop.
Open. A little too open with my mom and them. But they're beautiful, brilliant people. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun talking to everybody's parents. And it gave me a little sense of the holidays. And my mother would be here right now, except for one fact. That COVID is going brazy out here in these streets. We live in Los Angeles. And starting, I think it's at midnight on Wednesday.
Yeah.
All outdoor dining facilities in L.A. are shutting down for the period of 3 weeks. So anybody that was enjoying going to these places, sitting outside at Catch, and some of these restaurants around town have done a fantastic job of providing the outside dining. They've built little makeshift deals and all that stuff like that. If you're into that, you are going to have to wait until around mid-December to go back. Actually, late December to go back because it is over. The numbers are crazy. Here and around the country. Your thoughts when you see the spiking that's happening?
Well, I just want to get everybody's mind right. First of all, if you are struggling, we have an excellent podcast with Dr. Jess, which I'm like, that was so timely that we did that because we didn't even know that we were going to be on the brink of shutting down again. So please check that out if you haven't already. But I'm listening to you say, because I know what the mandate is right now, it's 3 weeks. There's no way that it stops at 3 weeks.
Probably
I want
not.
People to know it's going to continue because of the traveling. I don't know if you've been watching the news, if you've seen the lines at the airport, even though the CDC recommended you do not travel during Thanksgiving, people are still traveling.
3
they
million
don't
or
care.
Something like that. Yeah.
They don't care. So all that's going to do is you're going to see a rise in numbers in the next couple of weeks. It's happening. So the only logical thing to think of is that they will continue the mandate that they have in place in California. What's frustrating is, when I see this, I'm like, if they're doing it again, it's obviously necessary because you see these businesses who've spent all this money trying to comply with the new protocols only to be shut down again because people are so irresponsible in how they're handling this disease. You got the people in Huntington Beach protesting, waving American flags, upset that this is happening again. You've got Texas where everything is open. People aren't respecting it. And there's a slew of other places not respecting the protocols in place, not respecting what's going on, not respecting the fact that the hospitals and doctors and, you know, all the frontline workers are overwhelmed. It's honestly, Van, when we started the podcast, we talked a lot more about COVID. And I remember talking about feeling hopeless. I'm starting to feel that feeling again. Mm-hmm. And part of it is because the numbers are going up. Part of it is because I'm seeing the stories again about the shutdowns and how people are being affected. And there hasn't been any government relief. And nurses and doctors are telling their own stories that are horrific about what's happening in places like El Paso, Texas. Then also with the weather changing, like I'm a person who's affected by it. My mood is affected by the weather.
Seasonal
it's the
depression.
Holidays. Yeah. Sad seasonal affective disorder. Your mom can't travel because of it. I haven't seen my family in almost a year. I'm feeling a little bit of that hopelessness again. And I'm sure a lot of people are out there. I mean, how did you feel when you heard about the shutdown again?
I don't think that I've ever had to face mental fatigue like I'm dealing with in the pandemic.
Yeah.
We've all been mentally fatigued before, right? Especially in these industries where you wake up at 6 and then you talk all day long until like, you know, whatever, and you go to sleep, you know. So you know when your mind has had enough and you just got to watch YouTube videos until you crash or whatever. But this type of mental fatigue is different. And it's everyone is feeling it the same way. It's very hard. Like, I have chosen to do something that I didn't think that I would ever do, which is to stick my head in the sand. I just don't watch COVID-related news yet anymore. The only thing I keep up with, I don't keep up with any numbers from anywhere. The only thing I keep up with now are vaccine updates. Like, when are they going to have something that might be able to stop this? I can't watch the videos of people crowded in airports. I can't, because there's, what I've realized about it is that the feelings are too complex. And to feel all at once, it's like a speedball of feelings. It's sadness that so many people are losing loved ones. It's sadness that things aren't normal, that you can't be with the people that you love, that you can't go play basketball. It's all of that stuff. And then it's anger that some other people's actions are leading to the rest of us not being able to do the certain things, right? That people still don't want to wear masks and people still don't want to do that. And then there's sort of fear in all of this. Fear, your friends more. I've had more friends come down with it this time than they did the last time. Way more. It's not even close. So, yeah, I can't juggle all of those emotions at the same time. I can't. I'm incapable of it. It's too hard. So I've chosen not to try. And it's just interesting that when this whole thing is over, I want to be able to feel like I got better in some way. I want to know there's got to be some reason that we're all sitting here at the same time going through this. There's got to be something to this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that what you're doing is wrong. I actually think that I need to take a page out of your book, because I think what you're doing is a defense mechanism. You're protecting yourself. You're protecting your peace of mind. I'm not right now, which is why I'm starting to feel this way, which is how I felt when it all first started. So I think I don't think it's bad what you're doing. It's not that you're ignoring what's happening. It's that you're protecting yourself. And we need to do that for ourselves sometimes. What I do think is, when I do interviews at Extra as of lately, I'm having to ask everyone what they're thankful for. And that's something that we're putting together for our Thanksgiving piece. And when I hear what people say that they're thankful for, I feel like it's different than the typical things we normally say. And so I'm saying this to say what we're gathering from all of this. Like, what are we learning from this experience? What's happened in 2020? Right. And it really seems like everyone is prioritizing the importance of things. Everyone is realizing that the things that we worried and complained about don't matter. It's the simple things that we need to be thankful for. So what I hope out of all of this that we've been through in 2020 that isn't necessarily going to stop when 2021 starts,
right,
is that we will be different mentally going into this year. And hopefully it wasn't just a phase where we forget what we learned and what happened in 2020. That mentally forever, we will recognize things differently. We will be aware of them. We will prioritize what's important. And we will shift our focus to what really matters and not get caught up and all the stupid little, you know, insipid things.
Yeah, it's true. It's very well said. Like, I thought about, you know, you go back and you look at people who got Spanish flu in 1918, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about this before. You know, Walt Disney got it.
I don't remember you saying that. Yeah, I didn't know
Walt Disney survived the Spanish flu. He survived it. And I think about that, right? I think about how one cough could have, like, changed the entirety of history, you know? I'm not about to get out here and talk about what a great guy Walt Disney was, because he wasn't. But what I will say is that, you know, if there's one thing about life that we all know, is that there are going to be certain things that you're going to have to survive. There are going to be times when you're going to live, and then there are going to be, at some point, there are going to be things that you're going to have to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a snail's race. In terms of survival, mental, physical, emotional survival. And it's just not how we were living, you know? That plus, it just doesn't seem like there's not any part of American society right now where there's not in intense strain politically, socially. It's just such a crazy time. But when I saw that the shutdown was coming again, man, it disappointed me in a way, because there is a part of you that thought things were different. You had turned a mental page from how things were this spring. You would go out and you see people. You go, oh man, I mean, they're outside, but it's kind of, and now these streets about to be empty again. There's already no toilet paper.
What?
There's already no toilet paper in Target. We in groundhogs here.
I thought about that, but I didn't realize that was happening. Because question, I don't know this, because they're just talking about outdoor businesses. What about nail salons and hair salons and stores?
I'm not sure about, I have to look, but I think they're starting with the outdoor dining facilities. And I think that if things don't start to look better, then you might see stricter measures coming.
Were you shocked by that, though? I think...
No, not at all.
It was... Well, no. It was shocking to me, one, that we're getting back here again. But I was shocked that the first thing they pulled was outdoor seating and not nail salons, where I'm right here. As you can see, I literally just got my nails done this weekend. You're right here in my face. Right. Hair salon, where you're standing over me washing my hair. I was shocked that... I don't want to see anybody go out of business, but I guess I was just shocked that the outdoor seating is what they pulled.
Well, I just think those are recreational things. And so you have a lot more people crowding in those areas. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they've learned something about the virus and the transmission of it outside. I really don't know. But what I do know is that the numbers are bad enough in terms of the caseload that they think that we have to kind of rewind the clock a little bit. So everybody out there, be safe. No, my mother did not come out for Thanksgiving. I am not about to put my mom in an airport or let her put herself in one.
Right.
She offered to drive.
Oh my gosh, I love her.
What a crazy lady.
No.
She loves
her baby.
She's like, I'll drive out there. Just be me. I'm like, no, you're not driving from Louisiana to LA. No, you're not driving. I can see that now. Baby, I'm in Flagstaff. I got a flat tire. No. No, but she's made that drive before. When she was much, much younger. All right. So we started off with the bad news, and now we're getting to some other stuff. But first, we're going to take a break. All right. Joe Biden already starting what I like to call the IS, the iffy shit. Okay, now it's already the iffy shit starting. Hold on for a second. I'm getting text right now from my mom. Y'all, she wants to know how she did on the podcast. Y'all did great.
Tell her she was amazing.
Y'all did great. A little perfectionist. Yes. So Joe Biden and them. The transition, like most other things in America, not going smoothly. Number one, because the concession never came, the government is not participating. The White House isn't participating with Joe Biden's transition, and it is not funded. And because it is not funded, they haven't released the money. Oh, what? What are you saying?
Actually, while we've been on this podcast, we got a CNN alert.
Oh, what's that?
And it says that the Trump administration informs Joe Biden they are ready to begin the formal transition process. According to a letter obtained by CNN.
That is actually some good news.
Yeah, yeah.
That is actually
earlier than
some
I thought.
Good news. That is, if true, that is actually some good news. The Trumps are ready to begin the transition. Yep. That's actually good news. Now, that changes a little bit what I was about to say, the first part of it, but not the last part of it, because transition funds were not being made available to Joe Biden and them. They asked last week for people to donate to them so they could have the funds they needed to make their transition, which was fucking horrible.
Yeah.
A terrible look. They got slammed. But there's something else that people are upset about, Black people mostly, is the fact that Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago and a former official in Barack Obama's White House, is a name that's being floated for transportation secretary. Okay. He's floating his name, according to CNN, for the department, to head up the Department of Transportation. I don't think that's transportation secretary. I don't know why I said that, but he's the people are saying that he might be the head of the Department of Transportation. This is making a lot of Black people mad and starting off on a sort of iffy footing in terms of their relationship with Vice President Biden. Rachel, do you know why that is?
Yes, because of his time when he was mayor of Chicago. It was mayor, right?
It was mayor of Chicago.
When he was mayor of Chicago and how he handled the Laquan McDonald case.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The main point of contention for Rahm Emanuel, for a lot of Black people, is his handling of the Laquan McDonald case. Laquan McDonald was a 17-year-old boy who was shot in his back 16 times by the Chicago Police Department. And he was walking away. There was video of this. And the Chicago Tribune reported back in the day that Rahm Emanuel had worked to sort of suppress the video or block the release of the video. That pissed off a lot of Black people in Chicago. Rahm Emanuel came under fire not just from that, but from also the handling of the city of Chicago and talking about in the inner cities, the murders that were going on there, and why he hadn't been more effective in bringing some sort of peace to areas of Chicago that were, quite frankly, in flames while he was the mayor there. That pressure led him not to even seek re-election to the mayor's office in 2018.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of Black people that view Rahm Emanuel as persona non grata because when a young Black man was shot, it seems as if he worked with the police department to sort of decrease the transparency right. of what actually had happened with Laquan McDonald. So right. for the Biden transition team to even be thinking about putting him in a prominent member, a prominent role in the cabinet is really pretty baffling to me. Do you find it baffling?
Yeah. Well, one, where is this information coming from? Because we know he hasn't been chosen, that the Secretary of Transportation has not been fulfilled yet.
Hasn't.
But it's
coming from
rumored.
A report. It was coming from a report from CNN.
Okay. So then it's probably true.
Right. That he was at least being considered.
Considered.
It was coming, right.
To me, for Joe Biden, this is very simple. You have the pick of the litter, whoever you want to fulfill this position. And the fact that you're considering somebody that's problematic, to me, is alarming, especially because what he is problematic for.
Right.
We're a lot of what the reason that Biden was put in office or what people are trusting him to be able to do is his stance on handling not just the police, because he's never said that he's for defunding police, but before bringing like lessening the tension for bringing the unifying this nation together or bringing this nation together. So the fact that you're picking somebody who there is evidence of him not being totally against what people are fighting for to happen is pretty alarming. And if he actually gets in office, that means that you aren't considering anything that what people are saying for when it comes to how you're handling the police, that there needs to be police reform, and what your stance is going to be to rectify that. Because to me, all you're doing, you're giving this man a position in your cabinet that could go to anybody. I'm sure there are more qualified people than the mayor of Chicago for this position. So I'm hoping it's maybe he's being considered as a favor, but it's never actually going to happen. I'm not quite sure. But to me, if he gets this position, then I think it tells you everything you need to know about Joe Biden.
Yeah.
To be honest.
So I know, I get it. So here's the situation. Number one, I doubt he gets it now because it was probably a name that they were seriously considering that they floated and then just to see how people were going to react to it. Much in the same way that there was a small dalliance with Amy Klobuchar.
I was just about to say that.
Right. During like the time Klobuchar. When he was thinking about picking a vice president and the Twitter streets went crazy and then he ended up going with Kamala Harris. Now, a lot of people are looking at that and they're going to think, hey, it seems as if Black Americans, Black people are trying to shoehorn into the to the Biden administration who they want. I have news for you. You're right.
I don't even see it that way.
I'll tell you how I see it. It's not so much that we are trying to do that, is that we're telling you specifically what it is that we don't want. Okay? So it's not so much that we're saying, hey, we're telling you what it is we don't want. Amy Klobuchar had a fucking terrible record as a prosecutor up there in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in her past. Now you have Rahm Emanuel, who, to be fair, served in the Camelot of the Obama administration. So there were a lot of people who had warm, fuzzy feelings about Rahm Emanuel going back before he was the mayor of Chicago. But now he is embroiled in something that, to be honest with you, to a lot of Black people is disgusting.
Okay? Yeah.
That have any knowledge of the situation. So what people are saying is they don't want to be reminded, you know, in these choices of the status quo America. Like, they're railing against that. That's not what they want. They showed up, Black people, in force, en masse, to vote for Joe Biden and to deliver the presidency to him. What they don't want is to turn around and be kicked in their nuts for it.
Yeah.
This also is indicative of the needle, sort of, that Joe Biden has to thread. It's a very unique needle. I'm sure he has a high opinion of Amy Klobuchar. I'm sure he has a high opinion of Rahm Emanuel. The reality is this. Our relationship with Joe Biden is not a fresh one. It's not a fresh relationship that we have with Joe Biden. Okay? Our relationship with Joe Biden is more akin to the relationship that you would have with someone after you reconcile with them when they've cheated.
Very true.
So if you have
a new marriage, you don't trust them.
Exactly. If you have a new marriage, right? Everything is on the table. The Obama was a new marriage, right? Everything was on the table. It's like, oh, and you're not waiting for the next shoe to drop because you just jumped the broom and you're super happy. Joe Biden is different. You've been to couples counseling, right? You've done all of these things and you've accepted, I'm going to move on with my life with this person.
Yeah.
But if you've been caught out there, like Joe Biden has been with his record, with some of the things that he said in the past, if you decide to move on with that person, it's some shit they can't do. Your homeboy, Rahm, who still be with these hoes, he can't come over. You can't play Madden with him. Your homeboy, Rahm, who was with the funny stuff with the cops back in the day in Chicago, you can't have him. If you're going to move on, you have to reestablish trust.
Yeah.
And there are going to be some things that you're going to have to keep your eyes on, right? And that's what you have to do if you want that relationship to work.
Yeah.
And that is what Joe Biden is going to have to do with the Black community. Like, we took him back. We took him back.
Yeah.
But now, guess what? You can't go to the club.
Well, you got to prove yourself to us. I love this comparison because I think everybody, sadly, can relate to that experience. We understand that. If I accept you back, I'm not accepting you back with open arms. I'm keeping an eye on you. I'm watching you closely. You know what bothers me about this is with Amy Klobuchar, you're supposed to be vetting these people out and doing your research.
True.
Why is it the outrage from the Black community, especially because of our vote, that you're like, no, I'm not going to go that route? Why is it going to be the outrage with him that says, you know what, I'm not going to consider him for this cabinet position? It shouldn't be like that. To me, it's just as damaging the fact that you're considering these people who are problematic because it lets me know that our agenda truly isn't on your table. And that's the only difference I'll say in what you were saying is it's not that we're telling you who we want or not telling you who we want. It's just more of, we have an agenda, and on that agenda is police reform, among other things, is racial equality, among other things. And this guy stands against two of our points and maybe more on our agenda. So to me, that's why I say all of this is very simple.
Yeah.
This could be easily avoided. And I don't want it coming down to Black Twitter and protest and outrage in the media over what you should be doing. You should know better.
Also, it's also troubling that we're going through a ton of retreads that, you know, that we're going through a ton of retreads that we're falling back into the habit of business as usual in Washington. I know that Biden and Emmanuel have a longstanding relationship. I get it. It's troubling that we're digging up people from there are new voices out there, and there are people out there that need to be heard and need to be empowered, and we need to kind of look at those people. Now everybody needs to be qualified. And look, you know, notwithstanding, I'm sure there's a reason that the administration, the president-elect and his team like Rahm Emanuel. But for a lot of people, what he did is too far. And I'm one of those people. I think if you look at it on its face, at this particular point in my life, I don't want to see that anymore. That's too much of a life was lost. What we want now are people that recognize the problems that need to be solved for people in America and then are dedicated to solving those problems. Now, maybe Rahm Emanuel in his career, I'm not throwing the man away, but maybe in his career going forward, he can come to terms with some things and he can do that work. And I'm sure he's done some things that are good. I don't know enough about his record to be able to say that. I know, like I said, just from hearing about him from when he was in the Obama administration, I know a lot of people that up in Chicago that fucking hated his guts. But what I would say is that for Joe Biden, do this right.
Right.
Seriously. You'll make for a very, very tough 4 years, not just for yourself, but for the Democrats. Because there are a lot of people that are waiting to catch you cheating again, dog. There are a lot of people. They sleep next to you with one eye open. You know what I mean? And they, give me your phone, Joe Biden. Joe Biden, give me your phone. Let me check the text messages. There are other nominations that are coming. The cabinet is slowly taking shape. Tony Blinken. Blinken? Mm-hmm. I like that name.
Because?
Tony Blinken looks like he is going to be the Secretary of State. He's been named. Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor, Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines. Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas. The ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas Greenfield, and the special presidential envoy on climate, a very, very familiar name, John Kerry.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, they could swift boat my man.
Where's he
but they
been?
They couldn't stop John Kerry from coming on back. So that is that. Now, I want to ask you about something else. Good news. Oh, okay. First of all, some personal news. I bought my dog.
Already?
I bought the dog, yeah.
You were supposed to babysit Copper first, but okay.
I bought the dog.
When we go to the dog park. Where is he? When does he come home?
He comes home next week. Now, I will say this. I heard from a lot of people on this. Heard from a lot of people that were saying the American Kennel Society or whatever reached out to me. And said, told me not to get a Bernedoodle doodle and told me different dogs to get. The American Kennel.
What's wrong with those?
Well, I think everyone, number one, people, there were a lot of people out there, and I really do appreciate all the messages that were saying, hey, Van, don't buy from a breeder.
Oh, yeah, it's very big. Copper's adopted. It's okay. It's a big deal out there to adopt, don't shop.
Don't shop, adopt. Okay. I didn't do that.
I knew from last week you didn't do that.
Right, I didn't do that. We're planning to get more dogs. We will adopt the dogs that we get from thus far. But we fell in love with the dog that we saw on a site, and we bought the dog. Okay, the dog will be here next week.
What's his name again? Him or her, he or she?
It's a male.
Okay.
The dog's name is Captain now, but of course,
Captain's a good strong name.
But he's not going to be captain. That's that's a white people's dog name.
Okay. It's a strong name.
It's a strong name. Like, no. The dog's name is going to be Bozeman.
Oh, that's right. You told me that.
So I don't know how that works in terms of changing the dog's name and if he'll be cool with it or.
How old is he?
I think he's 8 weeks.
Oh, he'll be fine.
He'll be
Copper,
fine.
Copper, I don't know what Copper's name was, but he sure did adapt to Copper. And he was two. He was over around two when I got
him. Wait, you changed a two-year-old's name?
I found Copper in the streets. So I have no idea what Copper's real name was.
Basically, Copper was 14 because it's like 7 years, right?
See, See, write that? See what that is?
Yeah, he's going ham.
He was he was around 14. They had to estimate by looking at his teeth. But he's in the streets. He had a lot of issues.
So he was a 14-year-old human, and you just changed his name.
Well, how would I know what it is? He was in the streets.
So basically, let's be honest. You sort of...
No.
Kunta Kinte.
No.
Roots.
No, he's like, not you, Toby. I did not Toby him.
You sort of... Because it's one thing to do it when they're a baby. You know what I mean? But you sort... You kind of Kunta Kinte roots the copper
Let me tell you something. All them people who got on to you about buying a dog are going to come at you. Because this is what you deal with. I didn't know Copper's name. He responded to Copper quite well. So that, for all I know, that was his name before.
Maybe you know what would be crazy? It'd be crazy if he told you his name was Copper in telepathic dog language.
Maybe
he was like, maybe you came in and he's like, yo, straight up, my name Copper though. That's on G right there. My name
maybe
Copper.
And then it was like, between Simba and Copper.
Didn't go with Simba.
That's what I'm saying too.
I'm so glad you didn't go with Simba, man. So glad. Now,
I'm so excited for you, Van. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, I'm excited. Bozeman's coming home. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why we've decided to name the dog Bozeman is because, of course, in honor of Chadwick Bozeman, and there was some news that came out around Black Panther 2. Black Panther 2 is set to film in July of 2021. They are going to start filming Black Panther 2. And while there has been no news on recasting Black Panther, there is talk that Shuri's role is going to be more prominent. Now, in case people don't know, Shuri is Black Panther's, is the princess of Wakanda. She's Black Panther's younger sister. She is one of the most brilliant minds in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, in the Marvel Universe period. And in the comic books, there is definitely a point where Shuri becomes Black Panther. The question is this. It's not a question. I'm going to just go ahead and say it.
Oh.
Am I weird for wanting to see Black Panther recast and moving on with the new actor? Is that a weird place to be?
Well, here's the thing. I defer to you in this department, obviously, Marvel, comic books. So I don't think it's weird. You know, I read about it. My more question is, why do you not want to see Shuri step into a bigger role and potentially take over? Because from what I read, or you just said it, in the comic book, she does that. Why do you want to see another person step in there?
Because we haven't had enough time with T'Challa yet.
Mm.
So the T'Challa that we got from, and I know people are going to say it's been, because I think it's Avengers, Infinity War, Avengers Endgame, then it's Black Panther, then it's Captain America Civil War. So that's four movies with him appearing as Black Panther. And people are going to say people are going to say that that's a lot. But as far as the story of T'Challa and Wakanda and the inner workings of that, we've only gotten one story. We haven't spent enough time with T'Challa yet for anyone else to be Black Panther to me. And to be honest with you, now don't get me wrong, Shuri was one of the most amazing parts of Black Panther.
Yeah.
But I want the role recast almost also so I can let go of some of the pain. You know, it feels like it would help some of the fans move on if they recast it.
I see, and I know you're a bigger fan than me, but I don't want to see it because I feel like if we see somebody take in that role, it's going to be innately within us to compare the two together. And I think it's done in a more respectful way if you don't change anything. They already said they're not going to CGI him. Thank goodness. I definitely don't want to see that. But for someone who was already a part of the original story to take a role, especially if that's how it all goes down in the comic book, which I would also want you to tell me why she ends up taking a bigger role. I mean, why she ends up becoming Black Panther. I'm not sure why that happens in the book. But could you even fathom in your mind who would play that role?
No, but I mean, not right now. But also, you know, I think, and somebody made this point on Twitter, is that Batman isn't the same guy that he's been since. There have been like a bunch of different Batmans.
But this is the first.
I know.
You know, with Black Panther, that was the first time. I didn't even know about Black Panther until I saw this movie. So for a lot of us, the first time we had even heard of a black superhero, in 2018.
I get it, but what I'm saying is that number one, Black Panther. There's all kinds of reasons why Black Panther is the protector of Wakanda, right? So sometimes Black Panther will leave Wakanda. Like Black Panther will leave Wakanda, go on adventures with the Avengers. Or one time he came over here and he fought the KKK for a long time. And when that happens, somebody takes up the mantle of Black Panther back in Wakanda. You know, Shuri take up the mantle of Black Panther. There have been a couple of different people who have taken up the mantle of Black Panther. You know, T'Challa is sort of the character, and the mantle of Black Panther is what he wears as king and protector of Wakanda, right? So those two things are completely different. I'm talking specifically about the character of T'Challa. I'm not ready to say goodbye to that character yet. We just got to know the character in terms of the cinematic universe. And also, as far as Chadwick Boseman is concerned, there'll never be another Black Panther like him, but there has to be another guy to play T'Challa.
So can't we wait? Because this movie's going to come out in less than 2 years. That's the goal.
Right.
So why not Shuri step up? And then in the next movie, another one comes. I mean, I guess for me, I can see the argument of it being too soon. But at the same time, now I'm kind of like, if it doesn't come out till 2022, maybe it's not too soon. Because by the time we see it, you know, some time will have passed.
Right.
I have to defer to you on this.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh.
Is my hesitance to see Shuri in the next movie as Black Panther due to the M word, good old misogyny? Is that the reason that
you gotta ask yourself that question? Because I haven't seen anybody really you're not upset, but I haven't seen anybody really, I don't use that word, but I haven't really seen anybody say, I'd rather see this role played out by someone else. From everything I saw, people are very accepting of Shuri, especially because that actually does happen in the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Van. This is a question that you have to ask yourself. I can't answer that.
It's tough. It's tough being connected to the character of T'Challa. It is. It's tough. It's very tough. It's also tough because of you waited so long for that character to be on screen. Like for me,
I get that.
You waited so long for that character to be on screen. I remember they were talking about doing it in the 90s with Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes was going to do it. And then they talked about Tyrese doing it. There was always talk about different guys that might step up and play Black Panther. And every time you were wondering, yo, what are they going to make this movie? And how are they going to make this movie? Because there was no universe around it, right? And then you get it, and it seems like you get one movie with T'Challa, and then one Black Panther movie, God bless his soul, there was nothing Chadwick could have done. He did it, you know, it is just horrific and just goes in line with like what's gone on this year. And now you have to kind of get used to a sort of new take on it. We were just kind of settling into what we had. But I don't know. I asked myself, I was like, no, man, bring T'Challa back. Then I was like, wait a gosh darn minute. Van, are you a misogynist?
When I hear you explain it, it's deeper than that for you. And it makes sense to me that you're like, we just got him. It's not about that. It's just like, can we continue to play out his role? I understand that. That's why I say I defer to the expert when it comes to this. For me, it hits a little differently because I'm not as familiar with the Black Panther story. Right. So I'm more connected to Chadwick Boseman than I am to the Black Panther character. Do you know, you know what I mean? Right. So for me, I'm like, let's leave that alone and let's keep the story going. You have known about Black Panther for years. Mm-hmm. So I get it. I could see both ways. I wouldn't be disappointed either way. I think I'm just more happy that we're getting a Black Panther 2.
Yeah.
And we're going to see the story continue.
Yeah. And I'm sure that whatever they decide to do, they'll make a top flight movie. Especially if they are able to bring back Ryan Coogler, which I think Ryan Coogler is coming back. It's very important to have Ryan Coogler. You know, back.
Several people. Winston Duke, Angela Bassett's coming back.
All those people. And, you know, Letitia Wright was fantastic. She was fantastic as Shuri. Not just in Black Panther. She was fantastic as Shuri in Infinity War. Endgame, she's in the movie smaller, but she was there. She was in it. She's a fantastic actress, and Shuri is a great character. But damn, man, just of all the things we have to say goodbye to, it seems like right now we have to say the goodbye to T'Challa too. So it's just tough. It's just tough for us Black Panther nerds. It's very, very tough. Real quick, we're going to take a break. All right, you ready to talk about some bullshit real quick?
Let's do it.
You love a little bullshit. You see those pictures of Jay-Z? They have some pictures of Jay-Z. He was out in Hawaii. You see that?
Okay, when you said, when you brought this to my attention, I searched everywhere. My Google search with the Jay-Z and what I put in, finally, I saw the pics in Hawaii. But he had a shirt on.
He had a shirt on in Hawaii, and people looked at him, and it wasn't... people looked at him. Trippie Redd made a comment about Jay-Z, said that he weighed 444 pounds.
Okay, I didn't see a picture with... Maybe it was the angle I saw.
People looked at him, and they thought, you know, Hove. Here's what I don't understand about this. And I don't get this. Like, Jay-Z is a 50-year-old man. Jay-Z is 50 years old. How long does Jay-Z have to look like he looked in 1997?
It's because he's got money. So people are like, when you have money like that, then you have no excuse. I feel like that's what people think. To look your best at all times. Whatever it takes, you should always look like better than the rest of us.
This is a perverted thing to me.
I gotta be honest
with you. I look at people, someone sent me a picture of Demi Moore not too long ago. Like, damn, Demi Moore is like, I'm like, Demi Moore is like 62 years old. So I think she looks just fine. I think she looks great. But the reality is that you expect to see striptease every time you look at Demi Moore in perpetuity, like forever. Like what? Yes. Like why? Jay-Z is on the beach in Hawaii. He looks like a perfectly healthy and fit 50-year-old guy.
The problem is people have these unrealistic expectations for celebrity, right? Like you're supposed to be perfect at all times. Mm-hmm. It's not right, but it's just what people do.
Right.
And that's the same thing that they're doing with Jay-Z.
You're laughing when you look at the pictures, by the way.
No, I only see one picture.
That's him right there.
And I'm
there.
Like,
he's got
why
a
would
belly.
Somebody's... But see, he doesn't look bad to
he
me
looks
at
just
all.
Fine.
This is like, so exaggerated to me.
Why are you laughing when you see it, though? Just a quick question.
Because I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous that people are coming at Jay-Z, who is completely unbothered, I'm sure. Now, I did in my research, when I was looking at this, I did note he just teamed up with Climber. I think that's what it's called. And I don't know if that is recent. Or because of the outrage at the pictures. I'm not quite sure.
Wait. You think they ran Hove to the gym? Well, you think Hove is on a Versa Climber now?
He said, I'm going to make some. Have you done one of those before?
That's very hard.
It's very, very hard.
It's very hard.
Because Beyonce has that Peloton sponsorship, and I'd much rather have that.
Yeah, it's very hard. It's not easy to do the whole thing. First of all, I think he was actually working out when he was on the beach. It looked like he was working out, but
he does look fatigued.
He looks, I mean, look.
Like his
man.
Hands are on his hip. He looks like he's breathing, like he's working out, is what I'm saying.
Is there anybody that you would be really, really, any celebrity out there that you would be really upset if they got fat?
I mean, upset is a strong word.
Like you
but,
just, like you need them to be sexy.
Piggybacking off of the last podcast we have, I'm going to say Michael B. Jordan. You know, your name, Sexiest Man Alive, you at least have to hold that title for a year. Mm-hmm. If in 6 months he's looking different, I'm going to be a little upset.
You'd be a little upset. So, Mike, what you're saying is Michael B. Jordan can't have extra fries.
Hold it down for a year.
He can't have extra fries. So this man got to be in Creed shape. That's just so much pressure. That's so much pressure.
Heavy is the crown. Heavy is the crown.
Heavy, like, he got to be in Creed shape. And by the way, it's so funny because these places, like Page Six, Jay-Z gets in beach workout in Hawaii. They know what they're doing.
That's the article I was looking at.
I've worked at places like this. It's Jay-Z. I see Hov doing some squats right here. He working. He doing his thing. He's staying healthy. I'll never forget the funniest headline I think that has ever been written at TMZ. So Chris Brown went to jail. Remember when Chris Brown went to jail?
Yes, I do.
When Chris Brown came from jail, most people go to jail and they lose weight. Chris Brown went to jail and he gained weight, right? He came home for a little while and Chris was a little chunky for a little while. And there was a picture of Chris with his shirt off. I guess it was from his, he had went to Miami after he got out of jail or whatever like that. And I won't name the guy who wrote this headline, but I know him well. He's a friend of mine. The headline was, "These roles ain't loyal." I was like, yo.
You should say his name because that shit is funny.
All right. Like, these roles ain't, like, his name was, like, is Daniel. Shout out to Daniel. Daniel's like, Daniel wrote a headline. Still Daniel's finest work. Daniel wrote a headline and it said, "These roles ain't loyal." And I remember walking by and I'm like, yo, motherfucker, are you kidding me? Like, these roles ain't loyal. But I always think, okay, so that was funny. But imagine being Chris Brown and you wake up. I always wondered that because it happened to me, right? I ended up on Page Six after I lost my job. And I tell you what, it was not a good feeling. It was everybody hitting you up, calling you up, blah, blah, blah. Being on the other side of it, that was God's last test for me to get away from there because I had to go through it. You know what I mean? So Michael B. Jordan gets, if Michael B. Jordan were to get big, like you off it.
I would be surprised. I wouldn't be upset, right? Because I know you never know what people are going through. Why did they gain the weight? It could be a medical condition. They could be going through depression or something. But I would be shocked.
Do you think that body shaming men is more acceptable than body shaming women?
I've never thought about that before. But yes, I think it is looked at as more acceptable. I don't think it is, but I think people think it rolls off of men's back in an easier way. I think...
Just go ahead and go. Just do your
thing. No, I'm just laughing. I'm like, rolls. The only reason I said rolls is because you said these rolls ain't loyal. So I think it's in my head now. Yeah. But no, I just think people think men aren't sensitive to that kind of stuff, which I think is obviously a wrong assumption to make. I think with women, it's obviously looked at as bad. And there's a whole history of women being, shamed for, Megan Thee Stallion, doing a whole AMA tribute, and the first minute is her talking about body positivity. With men, I think people don't think it's as big of a deal, and it just affects them. I don't know. It's a societal thing that we do.
I'm not saying it's wrong.
I do think it's wrong that we think it's different for men than it is for women. It's just wrong to shame people overweight, period. It doesn't matter what your gender is.
So I've obviously been body shamed for my weight before, so it's not a good feeling. It doesn't even compare to the beauty standard that women have to go through. I'll tell you why. One reason is because, I was a big fat guy watching The King of Queens, and there you have a big fat guy with a super hot lady. You know what I mean?
And yeah, you're right. Like, good, great show.
It's a good show. Great. Great show. King of Queens, great show.
Okay, it's a good show. Excuse me.
It's a good show.
You're the one who said you watch it.
I did watch it. It's a good show. It's like King Queen's a good show. That doesn't happen. Women who society deems unattractive are told that they're the dredge, that they're the worst, that they have no worth or whatever. Like, you don't ever see them portrayed out in situations like that. It's completely different.
I think nowadays there is a lot of shaming with men. Look at Rob Kardashian. People shame him. Look at Kanye when Kanye talked about why he got lipo because of the pressure he felt to look a certain way. Now I think it's universal.
I think that if Ye got fat, I think Rob Kardashian definitely got shamed because of the family that he's in.
No, yeah.
I think he definitely did. I think if Ye gained a bunch of weight or whatever like that, I think, look, it's something that happens. A lot of these guys, you see, like, they gain weight as they get older. I can understand. I understand what he's talking about, maybe more than anyone. I get it. But also, I don't think it compares to what women go through, except for in one area that seems to still be completely acceptable. The real way that men get body shamed, it's body shaming to make fun of somebody's penis size.
Oh, yeah.
That's body shaming. We did this on the Lab podcast with the micropenis jokes and stuff like that. We were doing it. We were body shaming people with micropenis. There are people that listen to this podcast that have micropenis. They have it.
Sure.
And they probably, that's the shame of all shames. And I'll be honest with you.
So you're calling them out.
I'm not shaming them. I'm not shaming
them. You just called it the shame of all shame.
No, I'll tell you why though. I'm not saying that I'm telling you, I saw this. There was an HBO documentary back in the day. One time, and it was talking to guys of all different penis sizes. This is a true thing. It was an HBO documentary.
I'm telling you.
And they talked to this dude, and he had a micro penis. Do you believe me that this happened? That this was a thing?
I believe you. I've never seen one before.
You've never seen a micro penis before?
Mm-mm.
Never. In all your years of Ronnie and Trixie, you never ran across a micro penis.
Interesting. Neither Ronnie nor Trixie.
Right. Okay. So this guy, he was talking about when he lost his virginity and what he had done. He was smoking on a cigar, small cigar. And what he said was that he decided that he would lose his virginity to a prostitute or something like that because he was too ashamed to go find a girl or whatever.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it is. I never forgot watching this. And the guy goes, you know, you get with the girl, you're doing all of this stuff like that. And then he takes his clothes off and he forgot. He goes, I never forget what he said. He goes, well, you forgot something, buddy. You got the smallest penis on the block. And then he said, my penis when erect is smaller than this little cigar thing right here. And he says that she saw it and she laughed and freaked out. And I thought, damn, what a terrible fucking thing. But you know what the thing is?
What is it? I'm Googling.
You're Googling like that show?
No.
Like, men have done just too much for people to... A penis ego, the male ego is just responsible for too many horrors in the world. You're looking at micro penises right now? Wow. You guys got to zoom in on Rachel's face as she sees the micro penises. Like, you guys got to see...
I don't believe this.
You don't believe what? That's real? You're looking at the micro penis right now.
The pictures that I'm looking at.
Why wouldn't you believe them?
You should just see the Google search.
Right. It sounds like... But what I'm saying is, men do... I don't really feel like men get that same deal. Like even you, you're laughing right now at people's
pain. I'm not laughing.
Okay.
But they always say it's the motion of the ocean.
That's what they say.
Honestly, real talk, I can't even imagine how hard that is. I can't even imagine how hard that is, like, knowing that that's what you have in, like, locker rooms and PE classes and, you know, like, guys, like, that's really, really tough. So I actually don't think it's funny. I can't even imagine what it is to go through that. Because for women, there's no body part for us that you're completely shamed for like that.
Is that true?
Yeah. Like, nobody is like talking about you because you got a fat.
I'm just saying, like, is that true? Is that a thing? There's women's body parts that, like, that bring shame. You know what I mean?
Something to be smaller, but nobody's looking at you in a locker room like, oh my gosh, she's got a big butt. She's got big thighs. You know?
Really?
No.
Anyway, the name of the documentary
it's called what?
Private Dicks, Men Exposed. That's the name of the documentary. It's the name of the documentary. It came out and it was that you want to, you're laughing. And it wasn't, it's not just about micro penis. It was just about the way the, it's about, it was about the whole cornucopia, the whole totality of the penis's influence on society. And it, it had guys, they had Lexington Steele on there. If you guys are of a certain hobby, then you know who Lexington Steele is, all the way down to the guys that have
you
the
know
micro
what?
Penis.
I take that back because I think that women who have very, very flat chests are made fun of.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But look, it, this all got started from Jay-Z. It's the body shaming.
Yeah, how did we get here?
Because the body shaming is, it's almost like the body shaming is one of the worst ways that you can insult someone because you're insulting them a lot of times over something they have absolutely zero control of.
So true. So like true. For who they are, for how they were born.
For how they were born.
That's so true. Yes, anyways, y'all get up off Jay-Z. He's probably not even worried about y'all, but...
What? Jay-Z don't care about that.
It's just a bigger picture of it. Like, let's stop shaming people for who they are.
Married to Beyonce. It's married to Beyonce. Now, we have a very special edition of Mailbag, okay? Real quick. But before we do it, I want to give a shout out to somebody real quick, if this is okay. I'm going to give a shout out to Pope Francis. I give you
this
a shout out.
Unexpected ally of the week.
It should be. but he still is though, but for a different reason. I want to shout out to Pope Francis because, you know, you think a lot of times with popes and people like that that they, you can't really relate to who they are. It turns out Pope Francis likes the Instagram model just as much as the rest of us because the Vatican liked a picture. Okay, the Instagram of Pope Francis liked a picture of Natalia Garaboto.
Okay.
And she is a Brazilian Instagram model. She was in a schoolgirl uniform, and the Pope liked the picture. And the Vatican is investigating. They want to know why the Pope's account allegedly liked this picture.
Did they question the Pope?
I don't know. Can you question the Pope? Can you question? Is it, first of all, is it wrong?
Well, he has an account. No, it's not.
I can't see what's wrong about it. How do you know why he liked that picture? The Pope got 7 million followers. He's following no one. Interesting. That's actually, to me, more of a big deal. How do you know? Is it wrong for the Pope to like that picture? Is that wrong?
I don't. She's in a schoolgirl uniform?
Yeah. No. You never know why he was
so
like
she's in
it.
Like a Catholic schoolgirl uniform.
And you think it's Catholic? It could be Catholic.
It's,
maybe
it's
that's
a
the
uniform.
Reason why.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe he's like, you know what? This is what's up. I like the pattern.
Do you think, so you think he was liking it more because she was in a Catholic schoolgirl uniform?
I just think it's more funny than it is a big deal. This man follows no one, but somehow he found his way to this woman's page, right? Like, you know, following one, that means nobody pops up on your, as you're scrolling through. It's only your popular feed. And somehow you came across this woman's page to like it. And of all pictures, her dressed up in a uniform.
Well, here's the deal. It could have came out, on his Explore page.
On the pop, yeah. It clearly did. Or maybe he's just a fan and he goes to her page and frequents it. And that one stood out more than others. Has the Pope ever liked any picture?
See, I don't know about this. Is it wrong to look is the thing. What if he was?
It's wrong.
Is it wrong to look?
No.
I don't know if it's wrong. I'm on her Instagram right now. She's got 2.5 million followers.
Mm-hmm.
She is...
Probably increased after the Pope gave her his blessing.
Right. She's on Twitch. She's got her own website. Even better content. Let's see. At natagata.com. Even better content. Let's see what she's got on here.
What's her name?
Natalia Garbata. So exclusive content. She's got exclusive content and you can connect with her. The only place to talk to me directly I direct message with my subscribers, and then it's basically her ass on there. So what I'm talking about, I mean, subscribe now. Yeah, this is her. She's got a whole website and everything. She's going for it. She's making a thing. I don't know. I think the Pope got a raw deal on this. You don't like her. You're looking at her right now. Too much.
Wow. I didn't know that I hadn't been to her page yet. I take it back. I take it all back. Because now I'm scrolling. Where is the schoolgirl picture?
This is the schoolgirl picture. It's down. It's all the way down. Yeah, they ain't
letting her know. Whoa. Yeah. The one where she's at the locker?
Yeah. You can't like that picture.
Oh, my God.
Pope.
Sir.
Ms. Pope, you can't like that picture, though.
Wow.
Like, when I looked at the picture, it was cut off in the picture, her whole ass out. She like really, Moses can see her
this
ass.
This is not a uniform. She's not even wearing a skirt.
Come on, Pope.
Is there a glitch in the system? Because I heard that they were going to reach out to Instagram and figure out what was wrong as if there was some type of glitch.
Could be that he just liked the picture too.
That's a big deal to me. But do you think that the Pope is just scrolling through Instagram like this?
I just hit like. But I'm not, no. That one, now, after looking at the picture, Pope, you gotta do better.
So you can do better.
Pope, bad Pope. You can't like that one. If it's a picture of like Nicole Scherzinger and she's in a dress or something like that, maybe you had like a thing that you could do or whatever. But I hadn't, and I'm sorry for the listeners of Higher Learning that I hadn't looked at the full picture on the Instagram. I hadn't looked at the part.
Please forgive
that they
us.
Put in the article. Pope, you can't do that. That's too far.
It was told it was a schoolgirl uniform. It was not.
It was schoolgirl themed. She was wearing
Wow. Right. How embarrassing for the Vatican. How embarrassing.
Nah, Pope, you can't. Nah, Pope, chill out, dog. All right. It is now time for a very special Thanksgiving El Melio Baggio. So, Jackson Safon, would you please hit us up with the Thanksgiving mailbag questions?
From Nicole Green, is mac and cheese a Thanksgiving food?
Nicole, you gotta be white.
Yep. Hands down, period. I don't eat mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. But it's never been, even though I don't eat it, it's never been on my Thanksgiving table.
Oh wow. Now, Rachel, you gotta be white.
It's never been on our table growing up.
I bet it hasn't been on your table growing up.
So she's white because she asked.
She's white because she asked its question.
But
Shout out to Nicole Green.
I'm white.
If you don't think cheese is a Thanksgiving dish, you white.
Well, white. Maybe if we had a longer conversation with my parents, you could understand how triggering it is for you to say that to me.
Casual question. What's on your Thanksgiving menu then?
Too much to name, but I...
Tuna casserole?
Maybe if we... No. Maybe if we went to someone else's and it was a joint one, maybe there was mac and cheese. But if it was our immediate family, no. Like, none of us really eat mac and cheese. It's like yams, greens, cranberry sauce, turkey, ham, cornbread, homemade cornbread at that. Cabbage is
homemade
usually
cornbread.
There.
What other kind of cornbread is there?
Jiffy.
Right.
Out the box. Okay. You want to keep going?
All right, man.
Okay. Is that homemade cornbread for you?
No, it's not. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, this is just getting a little upset now. You know, y'all just homemade cornbread at that. Like, just what else? So what else do y'all, what else y'all got? Y'all do a turkey and a ham?
Turkey and a ham.
Yeah. Eating that swine, huh?
I have no shame. Pork chops are my favorite food. So
yeah, you told me.
Judge me.
So no mac and cheese.
Adopt,
though.
Don't shop.
She got ammunition. Every time Lil Bozeman runs around now, I done it. But look, I'm sorry, guys. He's so cute, man. So the cute little puppy. Buy him. My puppy, let's feed him some food. So no, yes, definitely mac and cheese is a thing. I don't think it's Thanksgiving without mac and cheese. You have to have the mac and cheese.
Okay, for some.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving, by the way?
Actually, Brian's not going to be here. So
damn.
I know, but it's okay. Like, the traveling situation is a lot. And Brian treats patients, so he doesn't need to be traveling during this time of year. I'm just going to go over some friend's house. One of my closest friends from growing up lives out here in LA. So her mom's here. Her daughters are here. I'm going to spend it with them. And then I'll probably go to somebody else's house.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. What are you doing?
I'm just going to stay here and make some Cornish hens and some mac and cheese.
Cornish hens.
Cornish hens and mac and cheese, baby. Okay. Jackson, next question.
Next question.
What's on your Thanksgiving food Mount Rushmore? AKA, pick your top four parts of your Thanksgiving meal. Desserts are included.
Interesting. First of all, I should say something about Thanksgiving real quick. And just so you guys know, Thanksgiving is an amazing time to be with your family. It is an amazing time to be around your family. But let's not forget that the indigenous people of this country suffered so that you can have your Thanksgiving holiday. And I'm not talking about a small, small degree of suffering. I'm talking about the fact that the same people that sat down and ate with these indigenous people, that took their methods of farming, and that these indigenous people helped kept alive, slaughtered them. It slaughtered them and made sure that they were pretty much wiped away from the land that they had had for a long, long time. Okay. So Thanksgiving is, I get it's a day about family, but we must never forget that it was the harbinger of doom for a lot of the indigenous people that lived here. And I can never not say that.
What, Van? You mean the pilgrims and the Indians didn't come together and break bread at the table?
I guess maybe they did, but I can tell you what, after a while, the pilgrims still got all their bread. Did you know that George Bush's family was on the Mayflower? I say that all the time. It's true. So those people are still rich. The indigenous people of this continent are still trying to figure out how to live amongst the people that came and wiped them out and stole all their shit.
Couldn't agree with you more. Thank you. No, seriously, though. So
as we talk about all of this stuff, just remember, there was a human cost.
How it got started.
Yeah, it was a human cost. All right, so.
Your Mount Rushmore of...
Mount Rushmore of the things. Turkey is not on there. Fuck turkey. It is.
You don't like turkey?
Y'all niggas have tricked yourselves into believing y'all like turkey. Y'all don't like turkey.
I only like the dark meat, actually, of turkey. And I do like turkey.
Really? You only like the dark meat? What a change for you.
Another trigger.
I would say it's mac and cheese. Actually, seriously.
Wow.
It's mac and cheese. Dressing.
Dressing. Yes, dressing.
Mac and cheese and dressing is all I really need. Mac and cheese, dressing, greens, and sweet potato pie.
I can't believe you didn't put any meat on there. I actually prefer a smoked baked or a honey baked ham over turkey. But I do like, yes, Van, the dark meat of turkey. For me, I would say ham.
Okay.
I'd say sweet potato. Mm-hmm. Cornbread.
Okay.
Homemade. Mm-hmm. And I'm picky, so I don't, even though apparently my mom makes the best dressing, it's a recipe that's been passed down for years. It's not in my top four. I would have to say greens. Mm-hmm.
Greens are good. Greens are good. Your mama looked like she can make some good dressing.
My mom is a really, really good
women that
cook.
Have that little hair flip down there. Your mom got that little hair flip. You can't have that little hair flip at the bottom and not be able to cook.
Man,
all women, it's like that hair flip is there so that you can carry a tray easier. You know what I mean? So that your hair could sit on you. You can raise your shoulders. That hair flip. That
remember
you
how you
cook.
Asked me earlier if you said something that was misogynistic? I think that this might
that's
be.
That's misogyny?
Because you said she could carry a tray.
Well, you
said.
Carry the tray.
I'm just here to let you know.
All right. Jackson, what else?
What are you guys thankful for this year?
Ooh, Rach, you want to start or you want me to start?
I mean, I'll start. We touched on it, kind of talked about it. For me, it's tough. This is the very first Thanksgiving ever that I have not been around my immediate family. My sister's here, but like home, you know, home cooking, if that nostalgic feeling of just like all of it. I'm missing that for the first time ever at 35. But I am still thankful for the fact that my parents are healthy. My grandmother's healthy. I am healthy. And although we can't be together, I know that they are in good health. They are in good spirits. I'm very thankful to be working right now. I'm thankful for, even though I'm feeling a certain way at the moment with everything that's going on, I'm thankful for peace of mind. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm really thankful for my friends because that is who I'll be spending Thanksgiving with.
Nah, I'm thankful for all of those things, but I have to say something specifically. I'm thankful for Kalika. Aww. Because if not, I'll be going crazy by myself. And I've been held down and tethered and, you know, so I'd say the only thing that would make this time harder is if you had to, is if there wasn't somebody there to be like, yo, it's going to be cool. Just chill.
You know,
and doing all of those things through all of that stuff. I think that the most thing that I'm thankful for is the opportunity to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we're still here, we have the opportunity to do a little bit better. And I think that I took that for granted before.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity to find your peace and to get better and to do all of that stuff. But I think I won't anymore. So the opportunity to heal, the chance to do better, is just very, very important. I think that I'm thankful for that. I really am. Now, because we are doing this podcast, and we're not going to have a chance to do Unexpected Ally of the Week, the next podcast, because it's the Parents Day podcast, because we recorded that already. Rachel, what are you doing off camera right there?
Can you tell that?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Of course,
I can see.
I'm pulling up my other laptop just to make sure that
you can see your Unexpected Ally of the Week.
No, I actually don't have one yet. We're a bit early.
Mine is the Pope.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic one.
And it's not because he liked the picture. It's because the Pope met with several NBA players on the issue of social justice. Did you see that?
Ooh, no.
He met with a couple of players.
He's had a busy week.
But see, you know what? Who knows if the Pope meets with those players if he don't like that picture first? Because the Pope is probably, I got to change the narrative, man. Hey, seriously. I got to change the narrative, man. Bring some niggas in here. Seriously.
Who did he meet with?
I got to look. It was none of your big name guys. Let me see.
That's Pope. So interesting.
None of your big name guys, but solid players. Pope, NBA. And Michelle Roberts was there as well. Pope, NBA players meet with Pope Francis. It was Dennis Rodman, Ron Artest.
Old school.
Yeah, it was Dennis Rodman, Ron Artest, Charles Oakley. No, that's not who he met with. Think about Dennis Rodman and Ron Artest and Charles Oakley going.
Oh, I thought you were serious. No. I was like, wow.
No, it was Anthony Tolliver.
What a group.
No, it was Anthony Tolliver, Kyle Korver, Sterling Brown, Jonathan Isaac, and Marco Bellinelli. So all of those guys, obviously, you guys know who those guys are. Jonathan Isaac, we've talked to them about Jonathan Isaac here on the show. They also met with Michelle. He also met with Michelle Robertson. Obviously, you know, Sterling Brown had a very, very, very well-known story involving the Black Lives Matter movement and how he was treated during the time that he was playing there, I think, in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So that the Pope did that. So I think that it's cool when guys that have huge platforms and huge Instagrams like the Pope lend their worldwide attention to issues that we're facing here in the good of U.S. of A. Okay, or right off the top of your head, can you think of an unexpected ally of the week? I'm put you on the spot right now, top of your head. Think about somebody unexpected.
Man.
Think of a white person, any white person.
any white person. Is it bad that I can't name one? Does that mean that nobody really did anything that was worth recognizing?
It means that
You know what?
Who?
Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom. Okay. That's interesting because he shuts you down.
And this is why I will say this. I am so sorry for the people who, like I said earlier on this podcast, have obeyed the rules and the protocols and have spent so much money to get their businesses in order. Mm-hmm. And they still have to shut them down. And I'm hoping, I'm praying that there is some incentive giving to them, not only them as business owners, but to the people who work for them. Because you're really just leaving people out here like that. But I'm giving it to him on because unlike other governors, like in my home state of Texas, he is trying to take the coronavirus seriously.
Right.
Maybe we don't agree with the way he's doing it, but he is trying to relieve frontline workers. Mm-hmm. He's trying to protect the citizens of his state. And we might not agree to the means, mm-hmm. but he is trying to protect people. And I see a lot of governors out there who are just letting people wild out.
Yeah.
So I'll give it to him.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and go now.
Before we go, okay. Who won the battle versus battle?
Oh, Jeezy? Shit, we even talk about it. Jeezy won, and I'll tell you why. Jeezy won. This is a lesson for everybody. The versus battle was a lesson. I'll tell you why Jeezy won. Gooch is still holding on to a lot of the stuff between him and Jeezy. Now, if you guys don't know, Gooch and Jeezy have real beef, in case you guys are listening to
right.
me. Real beef, street beef. Like, people were killed. It's like a real beef. Gucci has not let go of that yet, and I can't blame him for not being able to let go of it, but he hasn't let go of it. So when he was going with the Versus battle, he played a lot of his diss records against Jeezy, and some of the most brutal ones, right? Some of the most brutal diss records he had against Jeezy. But the thing about it is that because he did that, he didn't play some records I thought he should have played. He didn't play Freaky Girl. He didn't play some of the other
right?
records. And so... And then he made such a big deal about going at it the way Jeezy played all of his hits, the songs that we wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. And then also when Gooch got crazy, when WAP got crazy with Jeezy and said, yo, you sent somebody else at me, I'm going to do all of this. Jeezy handled it like such a well-adjusted gentleman that you cannot help but say that he came away from that battle looking better. But I'll tell you this, I am happy. I was relieved at the end of the verses when right. they did Icy. I was relieved when they did Icy.
Yeah. If you watch the battle, there was a lot of tension in the air.
Sure.
To where it started, to the middle of it, to where it ended, you would have never thought it would have got to the point where they were performing a song they hadn't performed in 15 years. I don't know what it's like for someone to try to... allegedly, for someone to send people to try to get after you.
Yeah.
I don't know how you let go of that. And if I couldn't let go of it, I probably would have never even been at the Versus battle. But the thing is that Gucci did agree to be there. So the way he was acting to me, when you agreed to partake in this, even though if he agreed, he told Jeezy, listen, I told you I was going to keep this street. I was going to do me. I felt like that was a lost opportunity because you agreed to be there and it could have been something more. But the line of the night, outside of Jeezy and his speech, which I still think was planned. Mm-hmm. You know, it was great what he said. I love that he took it as an opportunity to recognize those who have lost their lives in the game mm-hmm. and to say we have to do better and be better. And we're doing this all about the culture, and then transitioned into that song.
Yeah.
That's why I say it was planned. It doesn't matter. It doesn't take away from what he did. But outside of that, the best moment of the night was when Gucci was like, look at how I'm dressed. Look at how I'm dressed. My outfit costs $10,000.
You're right.
Look at my opponent.
It was hysterical.
Look at my opponent.
He goes, this outfit costs 10 bands. I told y'all I was going to show up here. Man, look at my opponent.
Look at my opponent. I laughed for a good 15 minutes.
Right.
I said, I'm going to tell everybody that. Look at my opponent.
But you know how Jeezy came back though? I ain't spent 10 bands on no outfit, but I got a bunch of real estate.
I got a bunch of real estate. He was on some grown man stuff. I listen.
But there still, though, that look at my opponent was hysterical.
Look at my opponent.
Look at my opponent. Like, this nigga, that's so disrespectful. Like, look, I'm so shy. Man, look at my opponent.
I never type in, but I couldn't stop writing in the comments with Gucci was on one. But then he had nothing else to say when Jeezy said what he said. And it was nice that he recognized the opportunity. Yeah. And then everybody went to the compound. I wanted to go to the compound after that.
Yeah, everybody went to the compound and breathed each other's air. Niggas crazy out here.
That's just wildin'. Anyways, it was one of the best verses. For me, Magic City, sitting on thrones. It just, the whole setup was just
crazy,
wonderful to me. And
they did their thing.
Yeah. Took me back to college. Loved it.
All right, now we really gonna get out of here. We hope that you guys have a happy and, more important, healthy Thanksgiving holiday. We will see you guys back next week. The news changed while we were doing this podcast. So the news is going to be changing a lot over the next week. And I want to tell a little tidbit of information. You guys, be on the lookout for celebrity breakups this week. Divorces and breakups. I'll tell you why. Quick TMZ tip. They do these things the day after Thanksgiving because nobody's in the courts. So they do these things the day. So if you're looking around, celebrities, people you think are on the Izzo outs, look. They do these things after Thanksgiving. We out of here.
We'll talk about them on Monday.
We will.
Or Tuesday.
Tuesday. Higher Learning is done. Take Think Camp's off, but do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan.
I'm Rachel Lindsay.
We out.